We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Thank you, and welcome to the first sitting of another great institution which has been recalled early from its summer vacation. Let's start with the seasonal saga read by Simon Vance.
A policeman's holiday turned from nightmare into farce when he was ordered to travel to Scotland to give evidence in court following his arrest of three Scotsmen in South Yorkshire. On arrival in Kirkcaldy, Fife, PC Malcolm Hodgson was told the case had been adjourned. He was asked to return in March, but it was adjourned again. He wrote to the court with his holiday dates, but as he prepared to leave for the Swiss Alps, he was told he must attend court only to find the case had been adjourned yet again. He then flew to Switzerland to discover his luggage had ended up in Hamburg, where a German anti-terrorist squad mistook it for a bomb and blew it up.
Thanks, Tony Lum of Knaresborough, for spotting that amusing trifle in the Yorkshire Post. Well, time now to meet tonight's teams. On my right, their competence boosted by fervent holiday scouring of a certain European newspaper, Private Eyes Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Whilst on my left, their competence bolstered by not reading a certain European newspaper, Paul Merton and Alan Corran. Before we launch into round one, here's a comforting little story seen in the Arizona Republic by Paul J. Rigby from Bristol.
At the trial of three former Northwest Airline pilots accused of flying whilst intoxicated, the defense lawyer of one said he doesn't get drunk easily because he's an alcoholic.
Makes sense to me. Richard, your first question of the series. Who's been pushed out but not down over the border?
It's something to do with Scotsman, is it?
That's right.
Are you telling me? I'm looking at you, Ian.
I know. And you're getting those very little response.
Does it not occur to you that something has happened in the Scottish...
Well, there's been a very odd thing going on in Scotland involving two men, one called Rifkind and the other called Forsyth.
Yes.
And they're Scots Tories who have been involved in a ferocious dispute.
Oh, I read about this in The Eye this week.
In The Eye? Oh, well, I hope The Eye will enlighten us, because I couldn't understand what on earth it was all about.
One of them's a friend of Mrs. Thatcher and one of them isn't. One of them's called Rifkind.
Rifkind, yes.
And the other one isn't.
That's right.
And the one that's a mate of Thatcher has amazingly been promoted. And the one that isn't, hasn't.
I think that sums it up awfully well. It's all about the Forsyth saga, the epic saga of intrigue and infighting and a long-running tale of the Victorian values family. This week's episode was about young Michael Forsyth, who was ruthlessly sacked as chairman of the Scottish Tories, only to be punished further with the position of Minister of State for Scottish Affairs. Welcome back, Ian. Thank you for helping out so nobly on that last question. Here's yours. It's who's finally been reunited after a wartime separation? It's a place rather than a person.
Oh, this is,
Get on with it.
This is Germany.
Oh, well done.
Starts back in amazement.
That's all I know about this story.
Yes, that's all you can say about it, really. Germany is the answer. Yes.
The war's over.
That's it.
The war's been officially declared over.
To coincide with the Battle of Britain.
Time for a quick amendment, which appeared in USA Today.
Correction. Oxford University is in Oxford, not London, as was reported Tuesday.
If it's Tuesday, it must be Europe. That was sent in by Mike Allen of Preston, whom we thank. And we welcome, for the first time to the programme, Paul Merton, of whom we ask, which bright sparks are making monstrous demands for investment?
Is this selling shares, the electricity industry, new adverts with Frankenstein's monster and all this sort of thing?
Right. Absolutely right.
Yes, well, there we are.
It's a terrible advert, isn't it? When you think of it,
it's
cobbled together from old bits with bolts in his neck that fall out. And the upshot is it runs wild and kills people. How have they actually arrived for this image for a £20 million campaign to flog things to people?
Because
every other share issue has fallen apart and wiped out the population that invested in it. Seems to be extraordinary.
Well, it takes people's minds off Cecil Parkinson. That's the only thing I can tell.
It's not their minds they have to worry about, with Cecil Parkinson.
Yes, it's the new £20 million advertising campaign to sell off the electricity supply industry, which stars, naturally enough, a Frankenstein monster, presumably to represent the average stitched-up customer. And to you now, Alan, your question. And it follows sheepishly after this.
Now, Jean-Jacques, what a carry on. What is wrong with our mouton? Cheaper than frog's legs and better than horse. Served with some pomme de terre and fresh mint sauce.
It's amazing what the World Cup has done to Pavarotti. For 10 bob, he'll go anywhere and do anything. About those sheep, about English sheep being grilled at the roadside by That's Frenchmen. Right. The only place you can get a decent meal in France is a British lorry.
It's all because of the so-called meat war between British lorry drivers who risk violent attacks from a hastily recruited army of French vigilante shepherds, or as they're otherwise known, mouton cadets. But sheep are taking their revenge, though.
Eurovision singer Emma narrowly escaped injury when a sheep plunged hundreds of feet off a cliff and landed inches from her as she sunbathed on Southerdown Beach near Bridgend in South Wales.
Everyone's a critic, right? Right, scores at the end of round one. Scores at the end of round one. Richard and Ian, 4, but Alan and Paul, 5. And we open round two with this cutting from the Avon Advertiser.
Public furore over the threatened closure of Andover Maternity Unit has caused the health authorities to think again. Although the future of the unit remains uncertain, a decision on its future has been postponed for several months. Campaigners who have fought to save the unit said they welcomed the delay. It'll give us some time to explore ways of increasing the usage of the unit, a spokesman said.
Richard, your question. Which little buggers have thrown open their doors to the world?
We've decided to lose this week.
This is a reference to sex talk last night.
It is. It's a reference to our old friend Michael Grade, who runs the Channel 4. And these buggers come on very late at night.
Yes, Richard's seen every episode. It's appalling.
Quite appalling. Quite appalling. Anyway, it's open day at the Lubyanka. Isn't that right?
Yes. This concerns the KGB headquarters in Moscow, which is striving for a new image as it has started guided tours for parties of journalists. Alexandra, I won't even try to say his second name, head of the KGB's new Centre for Public Contacts, said their new aim must be to protect human rights, and insisted it was just a coincidence that Moscow's first Pizza Hut opened in the same week. Ian, your question, where might you soon call room service for a bedpan?
This is the National Health Service, as used by Prince Charles. And what happens if you press the bell, your own private chef comes along and cooks you this enormous meal.
Quite right.
And it's all free.
No, you have to
it
pay.
It isn't free. That's the whole
point. Is the other story.
Well, you have to pay unless you're Prince Charles.
Oh, that's right. Unless you're... If you're very wealthy, you have to pay. But if you're fantastically wealthy, you don't have to pay at all.
Well, you can watch Channel 4 from your bed.
Can you?
Late at night.
Oh.
If you pay a bit extra.
Oh.
If you're an English lorry driver, you can check in with your own hot dinner in the next bed. Should last 6 weeks, given...
The answer is in hospitals, according to NHS plans to introduce a 5-star champagne service for patients willing to pay for it. Luxuries available will be haute cuisine menus, choice of decor, and doctors who stay awake. Poorer patients will definitely miss out, as a memo from the supplies department of Greenwich District Hospital confirms.
I confirm that from May 21st, bedpans and urinals will no longer be topped up.
Paul, your turn for a musical clue. Got his marching orders from pomp and circumstances beyond his control.
I can't remember his name, but this was the man who was going to be conducting the last night of the proms and felt that to play Land of Hope and Glory with the Gulf Crisis would be a terribly over-the-top patriotic thing to do, and they're now going to do Here We Go, apparently, which is... And he was sacked and has been replaced by Larry Grayson, I think it is.
His name is Mark Elder, by the way. You get your marks. Alan, who nearly stopped God from his West End debut?
This is all about British Equity, who've allowed an American actor to play God. I don't think I can say any more about that because it's hedged with such imponderable horrors if you try to make any jokes about it. Which I shan't.
Good. It all concerns equity. It all concerns equity. And their 11th-hour decision to bend the rules and allow the American actor Ken Page to play God in the London production of Children of Eden. Occasionally, it seems, a non-union member can be permitted in a role if it involves special skills. Apparently not, according to equity, a requirement of God. Anyway, the scores at the end of this round are Richard and Ian 8, but Alan and Paul still in the lead with 9. We kick off round 3 with this from the Northern Echo.
Probation officers in the Northeast have reacted with dismay to a report that electronic tagging for remand prisoners is to be introduced. They claim that 3 experiments with tagging were an expensive flop. 8 out of 13 guinea pigs breached bail conditions and 2 absconded.
Now, thanks to Tony Sullivan of County Durham for sending us that one. Richard, your next question. Who's given his party the bird?
I think this is our friend, Mr. Paddy Ashgrove, the head of the... who noticed that
Johnny
all,
Close.
If you're a part, or anything now like British Rail, you have to have a little sort of trademark to go with your thing.
I believe it's called a logo, Your
a
Honour.
A logo. It is a logo, and logo. And the Labour have this ridiculous rose, and the Tories have something like a hand with a torch.
That's right. Mm.
Sort of Nuremberg figure
Nuremberg.
Coming out.
So old Ashgrove thought he had to be have the same. And they thought of this bird flying in the air, sort of. I thought it must be the spirit of David Owen flying around. I couldn't see any other symbolism that it might take.
Symbolism is that it isn't joined up. I mean, the bits just fall apart.
The symbolism is that it's a turkey,
bird.
Isn't it?
It's Paddy Ashdown is the answer, who unveiled the new Liberal Democrats logo featuring a bird. To... Well, that, I believe, was called deodorant. And the question is...
I thought it was Radio 5 all of a sudden. Hello, young persons, here we are. Terribly good.
The sticky situation.
Sticky situation, thank you, Your Honour.
It's not about Cliff Richard's sexual career.
Situation, yeah. Alan.
Situation, yes.
Question is, who leaves the pithead baths with all-day protection?
Who leaves the pithead baths with all-day protection? What's this got to do with the music? Oh, I know what this has got to do with the music. Oh, deodorant, right. Sorry, this is Arthur Scargill.
That's right.
Who featured in a huge advertisement in which a deodorant company put a picture of Scargill on and said, for those who are really in a sweat. Anyway, one's not allowed to comment on Scargill at all because the serious fraud squad are looking into him for no reason at all.
Paul, what discovered the Peterborough effect ages before the Romans?
I can't write this down because I can't spell it. It was.
I can spell it, but I can't say it.
Well, it's something called an ignofluoridon, or like that, Paul. It's an animal.
The fossil. That
it's a fossil.
Right.
Fossil. Yes. Bearing a strong resemblance to...
Lord Denning.
Lord Denning.
Can we say that Richard didn't say that? He was quoted out of context.
Yeah. Yes, when you get senile, that's what happens. It's a Leopleurodon, a 150 million-year-old reptile. It's unearthed almost intact from a Peterborough rubbish dump. The Natural History Museum described the beast as a cross between a turtle and a dinosaur, which became extinct soon after being chosen as an early logo for the Liberal Democrats. Alan, second hardest question of the week.
What?
Who's got plans for a Maxwell House on White Hart Lane?
Oh, I thought this was the evolutionary one about six fingers. Do you see that? It was underneath the igno pluro thing. In the Telegraph, yes.
Oh, right.
We would all have six fingers if it weren't for some ghastly accident to one of our throwbacks. An amoeba of some kind went the wrong way, as some of them do. And nothing worse than a bent amoeba. Appear on Channel 4 late at night. And we'd all have six fingers apart from that. God knows what we'd pick with them, but there we are. To address your question, this is actually a question for Richard and Ian. This is about the great captain.
Yes.
who wants to buy Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes.
And sell Oxford United. Having heard that English football teams are going to Europe, which is more than the European ever did, he is attempting to infiltrate himself on the other side of the channel, along with the rotten sheep and everything else. And he wants to buy Spurs, and he's got 21% of them, which is more than most people ever get from Spurs. I speak as a QPR supporter.
And it is, of course, all about Robert Maxwell, publishing's answer to Billy the Fish, who is trying to buy Tottenham Hotspur. Naturally, we can only assume the motives are honourable from the man who, when his own newspaper leaked the story, described it as good investigative journalism. Earlier in the week, it seems, he's actually got as far as writing out the cheque before discovering that United Germany wasn't a football team. Scores at the end of round three are Richard and Ian, 12, but Alan and Paul still stuck in the lead with 13. Round four kicks off with this from Anne Kemp in Wallingham.
Photography may hold more medical drawbacks than back strain from lugging heavy cameras around. An alternative medical practitioner has added a photographer's syndrome, which could affect anyone coming into contact with the silver, which is transferred from film to solution during processing. Diagnosis is difficult because the quantities absorbed are so small. In large quantities, the connection is easy to spot. The British Medical Association has a record of a man who chewed photographic film as an alternative to smoking, until he noticed that his hands and face were turning blue. He was evolving into a human photographic plate, and in the sun, he started developing.
And now, Richard?
Oh, nobody loves the rhinoceros much. If you ask the reason why, they will tell you because of his scaly touch or his hard and glittering eye. But should you ask a truthful man, you will get this quick response. I do not trust that thing on his nose, the bodger on his...
So they look like cats as well.
Rather unfair to one of our old colleagues.
Yes, it is. That's why I said it.
Still, I liked it.
Would you like to disassociate yourself from that remark?
No, I thought it was very funny.
It's a wonder they're not taken to court once in a while. Well, the answer to the question, who turned a rhino into a white elephant, is, according to the critics, it's the Chichester production of Born Again, a musical based on Ionesco's popular romp, Rhinoceros. Apparently, production has been plagued with problems after some of Rhino's stagehands were discovered melting down the horns for aphrodisiacs. Well, at least it helped them stay awake. Ian, your proper question now, which junior dorm welcomed a new kid on the block? Royal question.
Yes. This is a B dorm at St. Cake's.
Yes.
Which is the preparatory school under Major General Harry Kipper Ragwort, who is the headmaster, which welcomed the new boy, His Royal Highness Windsor, House B, into its loving arms this term. And I can't remember which one it is. Is it William?
It was Paul Foot's old school for now. Very interesting fact.
Really? So will we have a rabid socialist monarch?
Should I get a bonus mark for saying it was Ludgrove School?
Yes.
You don't know that, do you? Then we could catch up with foreign.
That's right. Yes, you get a bonus for saying Ludgrove School.
They've drawn abreast. They've more than Scarf can do.
Yes, but you see, unfortunately, I have to give Alan another bonus for that. there's more to being a chairman than just wearing a tie.
That's lucky.
Yes. This refers to mutant hero turtle fan and trainee King Prince William, who started his first week at Ludgrove Prep School, where he will follow the standard curriculum leading to a GCSE in monarchy, with the addition of woodwork, in case he decided to help Uncle Edward with his acting. Prince and Princess feel they can't accommodate all the turtles at Highgrove and are looking for a larger place, like Hertfordshire. Meanwhile, this cutting appeared in a theatre programme in Keswick.
Graham Eaton was born in Wellington, New Zealand, so that he could be near his parents.
Thanks to Philip Keane of Loughton for that. Paul, your question. Whose school rule is, yes, we'll have no bananas?
Yes, we'll have no bananas.
Magazine about the funny dedications that can be found in books. One read, to Emily, whose skateboard made this book possible. That's the Isle of Man tourist trophy. And another one was, to my wife, this book is affectionately dedicated. And that book was called venereal disease and its prevention.
You can get it in a plain wrapper, I believe. Ian, what have you brought for us?
Well, this was a raffle ticket from the Friends of the Earth called Global Warming Raffle Ticket. First prize, exciting Middle East adventure.
Guess who won it?
And in the Daily Telegraph, there was a small item which said, Andrew Lloyd Webber, the composer, has been granted a High Court injunction banning the use of his name by a private firm. The ban prevents Mr. Craig Tuck naming his business Andrew Lloyd Webber's Lavatory Cleaning Services.
Paul, what have you brought for us?
There's a little piece here from the Epsom and Yule Herald. Yes. Toilets at Epsom Clock Tower could be closed to the public while the new one-way system is being introduced. And this is from the South Wales Evening Post. Fatal head injuries were sustained by an Ammerford man after being knocked down by a motorcyclist near Swansea. The dead man's head struck the lines of a level crossing as he fell. He had met with a similar accident a month before.
Thank you, Paul. Alan?
I have one bag from the Oldham Evening Chronicle. Flight Sergeant Simpson, who was in charge of the recruiting office at the time, told the court that the argument broke out after he informed Carter that his eyesight was not of the standard required for aircrew. Carter jumped up and threw a punch at me, said the sergeant, but fortunately it hit the filing cabinet.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, after that, I can reveal the final scores, which are quite surprising, really, because although Alan and Paul led through most of the contest, the final results are Alan and Paul 14, but Richard and Ian triumphant with 18. This week's winner. And we end with this final offering from Simon, sent in by Tony Edwards from Herne Bay.
A Manhattan appeals court ruled that a police officer who reached into the front of a man's trousers and found 10 ounces of cocaine had conducted an illegal search. The judge's opinion in the case stated that there were a number of inherently innocuous objects which could have been the cause of a bulge in this area.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingram, Ian Hislop, Paul Merton and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Simon Vance. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias.